Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
I think it's very important that we recognize during this season that what is going on is very spiritual. You know, the battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual hosts. It's actually a very spiritual battle. Now, that spiritual battle is in the natural, seems political or seems, you know, a specific way, a virus, whatever you want to call it. But what we need to recognize as the body of Christ is that there is a timeline. And that timeline, the enemy will often try to disrupt, but God. And the book is written. The end has already been foretold. And we know what will happen. It always amazes me how the enemy wants to disrupt, but it's always incredible how God shifts things back to the way He wants them to be. He will raise up leaders at specific times to fulfill specific purposes, and He'll even choose leaders that you and I don't necessarily like. And so it's very important that you as a Christian put away your feelings and make decisions and do things based on Scripture. What does God say about this? How do I base my mindset and how do I base my prayer life based on what God says, right? We don't base it necessarily on the fact that I'm a Democrat or Republican. Because you are not citizens anymore. You are citizens of the kingdom. So your first priority is the kingdom of God and what God says. And then in the natural. So we follow His agenda. Is that okay? You know, people get really tense when we talk about politics. And the truth is that in the Old Testament, it was all politics. In a way. Because the prophets would always influence the kings. You need to recognize that you are the body of Christ. I think sometimes we don't really understand what that means. You must understand that in the Old Testament, God would put His Spirit upon individuals to do His work. In the New Testament, Jesus came in the flesh. God came in the flesh and His body was on the earth. And that's why the kingdom was at hand. That's why the kingdom was there. Jesus represented the kingdom and brought the kingdom of God into this earth to establish and fulfill His plan. And Jesus represented that completely. So everywhere Jesus went, it was like the kingdom was there. The kingdom of God was there. Miracles and signs and wonders. And would be able to say a word and that word would have the potential to change someone's heart. It would be able to cause a woman that had an issue of blood to be able to reach out and touch the kingdom and be transformed. That's what happens when God in the flesh is here. I want you to recognize that you are the body of Christ. That means that you represent the way that Jesus was on the earth. You represent that right now. And we need to operate that way. What did Jesus say? I did not come to do my own will, but to do the will of the Father. In other words, our plan, so like it was Jesus' plan, should be to do God's will. The Bible says in the book of Luke that while Jesus was growing up, it says that there was great grace on Him, that He was growing in grace. I'll actually read the scripture to you next week, because that's next week, but I just want to say that even Jesus, there was grace on Him to fulfill what He was called to do. So it is with us as well. God has appointed you. Man, you live in an exciting time. There has never been a coronavirus before. And you live in this time. Yes, it's challenging, but the Bible never said it would be easy. Are you with me? But God will get us through it. And whatever happens, we trust Him. Are you with me? Yeah. All right. So let's get into this morning's message. Hopefully it will encourage you. And I want you to know Some of you are upset that we don't have an encounter service anymore. Every service is an encounter service. Amen. And you never know what's going to happen. It's very seldom that a service at Oceans is the same. It might be the same message in some way, but it's always different. I'm just not someone that can preach from notes like, it's always different. Whatever God puts in my heart. Plus, the atmosphere changes because there are different people in the room. So God will sometimes come after you there in your seat. You know, through the message, and sometimes even just directly, you know, through me or someone in the sanctuary might, you know, one of my leaders or someone might speak to you. So that's why there's something very special about coming together. So this morning's message is entitled The Depths of Grace. And grace is a very, very deep subject, but fortunately or unfortunately, in some way, it's one of those things that has kind of been put in a box or labeled. In other words, this is what grace is. And I want to tell you this morning that there's absolutely no way you can put grace in a box. Because even what I will share with you today and possibly next week, you cannot properly define the fullness of grace. Because I don't think that we can fathom the greatness, the depths of the grace of God. What it really encompasses and means. But unfortunately, many of us have limited grace to what we call saving grace. Now, when I say limiting, that doesn't in any way lesser the effects or power of saving grace. Because thank God for saving grace. But when I hear the word grace, the first thing I think of is two things. I think of Jesus, and I think of salvation. And then I think of righteousness. Those three things, when you hear grace, you think of salvation, Jesus, righteousness. And those three things are absolutely right and connected to Him. Amen. But there is a lot more to grace than that, even though that is powerful. So in order for us to dig a little deeper, let's take a look this morning at what the meaning of grace is. The Greek word for grace is the word charis. Charis, it's actually with a C in English, spelled with a C, but actually there's no C. It's C-H-A-R-I-S. It's a silent C. And so grace actually means grace. It means favor. It means gift. And actually the word gift in the Bible is often from the root word charis. So what is grace? Grace is a gift. It's the favor of God. It's a gift that comes from Him. It is something that is given to us. It is not something that you can earn. So if you gave grace a definition, and I've heard so many people try and give a definition, and that's what I love about certain things in the Bible, you simply cannot really define it. Except we know that what grace does is it gives you something that you don't deserve. So what is grace doing? It's giving us what we don't deserve. And by the way, we need it all the time. Every day. In my personal opinion, when grace stops, it's over. And I'm talking in every dimension. When grace runs out, it's finished. If you were not able to receive grace, you would be dead. You wouldn't be here anymore. So the fact that you're still alive tells me that grace is still available to you. Are you with me? Listen, I have seen the worst Satanists. You would think there's no way there's grace for that guy. He is so evil. I've seen God touch his heart, him get saved, radically delivered. And I'm thinking, man, God likes that guy. Wow. And then the way that I judge, I'm thinking, man, I better be careful because I've just judged in a certain way. I better watch out because that judgment is now coming on me. All right. So grace is giving us what we don't deserve. Now, as I said, when we think of grace and we need to lay this foundation, it's important for us to understand that, yes, grace saves us. It's what Jesus did on that cross. And there's nothing that you and I can do. You know, in the Old Testament, sins were forgiven because of a sacrifice. Jesus became that sacrifice, the one and true and living and all-time sacrifice. So there's no sacrifices necessary anymore to give us salvation. So Ephesians 2 verse number 8 says this. And in the Bible, many times, Paul specifically wants to overemphasize. He even says to the church in Galatia, who has bewitched you? In other words, why have you forgotten the basics of grace? That you're trying to do things to earn salvation. You cannot earn salvation. It's a gift that has been given to you completely freely. There's only one thing required, and that is that you believe. That's what saves you, when you receive and you believe. Ephesians 2, verse number 8, for by grace you have been saved. How have we been saved? Grace. So what did you do to get it? Nothing. But it does say that there's one thing required. So grace, we have been saved through faith. Through faith. So it's through our believing. And that not of yourselves. You need to understand there is nothing that you can do. The Bible says your righteousness is like filthy rags. So even the most righteous person, the person that has sought righteousness with all of his heart, the Bible wants to let you know that your self-righteousness is like filthy rags. Because more than likely your motives and thoughts and intent was evil. Because man, we are just a mess. But thank God for grace. So, it is not of yourselves. How does it come? What is grace? It is the gift of God. It has been given to us freely. Amen. Isn't that powerful? Most of us can accept this, that we've been saved by grace. But when it comes to being made righteous, many of us think that we have to do things to be made righteous. The truth is that's not true. The Bible does say that we should seek righteousness. In other words, seek to walk in a way that is good and right before God. But righteousness comes from Him. It comes from God. It's a gift. Let's take a look at what it speaks about when it comes to Abraham. Now, the truth is that most of you sitting here think Abraham was a superhero. Father Abraham had many sons. You know the song, Father Abraham? You know, he's the father of all nations. But I want you to know that he wasn't even Jewish. In fact, Israel was his grandson. Are you with me? So he was a heathen. And something happened that caused God to pick him, to choose him. He was already predestined. God already knew who he would be. But something happened, and in that moment, the blessing came. Look at what it says in Romans 4, verse number 1. What then shall we say? That Abraham our father was found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham, look at this, believed. Everybody say believed. What did he do? He believed, and it was accounted for him, to him, for righteousness. So what Abraham did in order for him to receive the blessing is he believed. He believed. He didn't really do much. He just believed. And it was accounted for him righteousness. Now look at what it says. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace but as debt. In other words, you cannot earn righteousness. But to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. So we need to understand that Abraham was made righteous only because he believed. The same way that in our dispensation, because we believe on Christ as the risen Savior, his righteousness comes upon us. Now, many of us look at Abraham's life and we see, man, he was good and he did good things, and that's true. He did. He did many, many good things, but the good things only came after he believed. But I want you to understand that he did a lot of bad things too. And the Bible still speaks about him in the New Testament as being righteous. What do I mean when I say he did bad things? He pimped his wife twice. Did you know that? Twice. He pretended his wife was his sister and said, yeah, you can have her so that I can live. Pretty bad, right? Like today, there's no way he would be a pastor. Okay. when the promise of God did not happen fast enough, which happens so often today, he went and had an affair with a maid. The guy was bad. He didn't listen to God's timing. He went before. God gives him an instruction. He doesn't obey the instruction completely. He obeys, but like half, like most of us. So why was he righteous? Because he believed. Now, Abraham responded when he believed. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. Let's dig a little deeper. Are you guys okay this morning? What we need to understand is that just like Abraham was not considered righteous because necessarily of what he did, Paul wants to overemphasize it wasn't because of what he did that he was righteous. It was because he believed that he was righteous. So we also need to understand that grace is something that we need desperately. Grace is something that we don't earn. Grace is something that we don't deserve. But we do need it so, so desperately. We can't really live without it. Ephesians 2 verse number 8 says this. For by grace you have been saved. I've just read this to you, but I want to just read it quickly again because I need to pick up from this verse. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. So he's saying it's not of your works that you've been saved. It's by grace, right? Then he goes on in verse number 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Man, that is so powerful. I want you to know that the good works that you will do because of the grace of God that has already come to you have already been prepared for you beforehand. It's ready, it's there, it's available. The bank account is open. All you have to do is believe and take a deposit from that account for everything that you've done wrong. Oh, and by the way, you will mess up again. Welcome to the club. Abraham messed up, David messed up, Paul messed up. They all messed up. But grace was available. And grace is what got them through it. Are you with me? So grace goes beyond just saving grace. The Bible says in Ephesians that we are saved by grace, created in Christ to do something. Now, when we say the word works, people go, eh. But the truth is, works is destiny. It's why you were created, to do something. You were not created to do nothing. You were not created to just be a Christian and one day go to heaven and have no responsibility in heaven because you did nothing. Your salvation, your ticket to heaven has been paid for. But the way you will live eternity is determined by what you do on this earth. So God has given and prepared everything for you. Some of us will have the bank account full, but we make no withdrawals from the bank account of grace. So we just keep going. And then God takes us round that mountain over and over and over and over and over. Why am I dealing with the same thing? Because you still haven't received grace to get over this thing. Are you with me? Okay. Now, there's a lot more to, there's so much more. You know, I need to get into Titus, but let me do this this morning. Let's go to Acts 4 verse number 33. Now, before we read it, let me say this. The disciples had you know, lived through Christ, the death and resurrection of Jesus, and now everything has changed. Jesus has gone up to heaven. The Holy Spirit's been poured out. They're hungry and thirsty for God. They're on their way to the temple to pray, and there's this crippled guy lying there, and Peter and John, they go and pray for him, and he gets healed. Now, all of a sudden, the religious system that thought they'd finally killed the Christ, not knowing he was the Christ, obviously, thought they got rid of Jesus. They had a problem because now Jesus was living inside the disciples. And that same power and that same anointing and everything that was in Christ was now in the disciples. In other words, the problem had not gone away. So they called them in and had a meeting with them and persecuted them severely. When they left there, there was a mandate that said, "Just, you're not allowed to talk about Jesus anymore. You know, you guys can't do this." The persecution that rose up against these men was intense. So the Bible says that they went up to the upper room again and they began to pray. And as they prayed, the place was filled with the Holy Spirit and great boldness came upon them. And they went out and they preached the gospel with boldness and filled with the Spirit. And the Bible actually even says that there were great signs done through the hands of the apostles. In other words, God was with them. But what I want to show you is what is it that they had? What is it that was on them during that season of what they were dealing with, the persecution and everything that would come in their lives to follow? Watch this. Acts 4:33 says this. This is exactly what was on them when they went out. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And look at this. And great grace was upon them all. So the one thing that they needed so that they could fulfill their purpose, their destiny, deal with being locked up in prison, deal with being beaten, deal with the persecution, deal with everything, deal with a miracle, deal with every circumstance. There was one thing needed, and it was great grace. In other words, grace goes beyond salvation only. You need grace for everything. Your purpose. You see, when we think of works, we think of working. No, it's working God's plan. That's what it is. You can either do nothing or do His will. What do you need to get more grace? Believe. That's all. You see, when Abraham believed, Abraham did. Not perfectly, but he responded. He responded by doing certain things, and God just continued to bless him. Why? Because he was fulfilling God's plan for his life. He became the father of nations. Are you with me? Okay. Somewhere in the world, on TV, someone's getting excited. But not here in Vero Beach, but that's okay. Let me confirm this morning. You see, the Bible is amazing because the Bible, when the Bible speaks of something once, twice, three times, how many of you think we should pay attention? The Bible speaks about saving grace often. The Bible speaks about grace very often, which I'll show you in a moment. But when Paul, Peter, and John write letters to the churches, most of the time they start in a certain way, and almost always, specifically Paul now, Peter did it once, and John did it once at least, maybe more, I haven't looked, to be honest. They all end in a specific way. Let's look how Paul starts his letters. 2 Corinthians 1, verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand, he's writing to believers that are already saved. So he's saying that I want grace to be your portion. But he also ends every single letter in this manner. And I'll read them real quick. Romans 16:24, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. 1 Corinthians 16:23, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Will be with you. 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Galatians 16:18, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Ephesians 6:24, grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Philippians 4:23, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Colossians 4:18, this solution by my own hands. Paul, remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen. 1 and 2 Thessalonians are ended exactly the same way. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. He says the same thing in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, in Titus and in Philemon, in Hebrews. He ends every single one of them saying, grace be to you. What do you think we need? We need grace, not only for salvation. You cannot do a good work without grace, because if you do, it doesn't mean anything. Second Peter 3:18, same thing. And by the way, the Bible ends, the very last verse in the Bible, Revelation 22, verse 21. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Writing to believers. I think there's more to grace than what we may realize. I think there's more to grace that we need to tap into. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful for grace. Grace also teaches us. grace is not only there for salvation. The Bible says in Titus 2, verse number 11. Quickly put it up for me and then we'll move on. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It has come to you to save you. But grace isn't finished. Look. Next verse. Teaching us. So grace will not only be there to help you, but it will also teach you. Teach you to do what? To deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. We should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present age. So grace teaches us. The word teaches there is only used to express the word teaching once, and that's here. The rest of the places in the Bible, it actually speaks of chastising and discipline, learning. But actually, grace is sufficient for you. So even when you make a mistake and don't live right, grace is there to pick you up. But listen, if you're a parent and your child doesn't learn, you're hoping that they're going to keep learning from their mistakes, right? That you want them to learn. You don't want them to keep making the same mistake and the same mistake over and over again. But grace is sufficient for you. That doesn't mean we take advantage of it. We want to now take it, learn from it, be disciplined by it, and continue. Because if you haven't realized, oftentimes the consequences of our sins end up hurting us. But even though it hurts us, it's sufficient for us and it'll get us through. The problem is some of us get so stuck there, we don't move from there and we forget what grace is actually for. You see, grace is there to save us, to teach us, but it's also there because we are created to do good works. In other words, once it comes to us, it's teaching us to help us to get through and deal with our issues. It saved us, but it's also there so that now we can begin to do what God called us to do. Watch this now. Let me show you. Let's go in our Bibles. I'm almost done. Are you guys okay? I'm actually almost done. That was really, really fast. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 9. Paul writes to the church in Corinth and he makes a powerful statement here. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. In other words, I am not worthy. I'm the least of the apostles. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. What is he? An apostle. He's just told us that, right? So in other words, he's saying, listen, I'm not worthy to be an apostle. I'm the least. Take a look at what I did before grace came on the scene. But listen, it doesn't matter what I did because I am what I am because of what God called me to be. Do you know that I've met so many Christians that have got such incredible destiny and purpose? I see it all over them, but they are stuck. And they don't want to move out of that stuckness. You see, when you begin to truly believe, and you begin to activate that belief by doing what God has called you to do, everything begins to just somehow fall into place. I don't know how. I don't know why. It must be grace. I remember when we planted the church in the beginning, I didn't know how anything would work. I didn't know how we would pay for the seats. And, you know, we did somehow. And then I didn't know where the people would come from, but they came somehow. I didn't know how we would have a band, but it worked out somehow. Then God gave us a vision for a cafe and a gym and a church, and somehow we ended up at the mall. Not sure how, but it was somehow. And then somehow we raised the money to do all of this, like, I don't know how, but somehow. What was working all the time to make what needed to happen, happen? And listen, no one knows the pain I went through while this was all going on. When I had a bill to pay to builders and I had no money in the account and thought, oh God, you're going to have to provide somehow. And someone would phone and say, I want to make a donation of X amount and it would be just enough. And the story goes on and on. And by the way, I'm still living that story. And by the way, so are you. So are you, your story. If grace was finished, you wouldn't be here right now. Now watch what he says. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. Oh man, this is powerful. Think about it. He wants you to know that God did not just come and save him and deliver him and call him to be apostle. If he's saying that it wasn't in vain, it might be in vain for some. But in his case, no, he took up the call. He took up the call and he used that grace that was provided for him to do what he was called to do. To do what? To do good works. Good works is not a curse word. Good works is the response that we have to grace when grace arrives. Not saved by grace, not given destiny and purpose. If you are called to be a prophet, you are not called because you are great and shine in the dark. You are called by grace. It's a gift. That's all it is. Man, you got to think about how God's got to plan everything so well. Because there's this horrible, stinking devil that has a strategy, but God gives you the DNA, the thoughts, the brain, the mind, the body, everything you need so that you can counter everything the enemy throws at you. And then he says, my grace will be sufficient for you. You'll get through it. I'll make sure you make it through. His grace towards me was not in vain. Now he's saying, I labored more abundantly than they all. In other words, I did more than all of them. Now, I'm so glad he didn't stop there. Because we'd all think, man, Paul, you're a little bit, you know, you're a little bit opinionated, brother. You know, you did more than Peter and more than all of them. And look at what he says. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. And then he goes on and he says this so that every single one of us will never forget it. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach and so we believe. God, that's powerful. As we begin to preach, as we begin to live out our destiny, as we begin to do what God has called us to do, as we begin to step into it, we believe. And as we begin to believe, so more grace comes. So more grace comes. I don't care what the coronavirus has thrown at you. I don't know how bad it's been for you, but I want to tell you there's grace that's available to you right now that will get you through whatever it is. There's grace available to you right now. There has been grace available to you. I know that it's been rough for some people. I know that it's been really bad for some people, but there's grace for you. Listen, when they wanted to kill Peter, when they wanted to crucify him, he said, I'm not worthy. Hang me upside down. I don't want to be crucified like Jesus. Because he lived a life of grace. He denied Jesus 3 times, yet Jesus shows him mercy and even confirms him on the beach by saying to him 3 times, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Because maybe Peter needed to do that 3 times to just confirm the 3 times that he messed up. I don't know. But he knows you. He knows you. He's created you for this time, for this moment. And his grace is sufficient for you. All you have to do. See, Paul says, I did this. But I want you to understand, it wasn't I, but the grace that was working towards me. All I did was believe. And believing causes a response that will teach you how to overcome sin, that will equip you to become the person you called to be, regardless of what you're going through right now. Grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And I'm so thankful that it keeps flowing towards me. Man, if it wasn't the kind of bank account that it is, my account would be empty. But every time I think it's empty and I go and take another withdrawal, I look and I see it's full again. How did that happen? That's because he knows you. All you have to do is believe. Believe what? You see, He will never be your healer unless you know that he's your healer. He will never be your restorer unless you understand that he is the one who restores. He will never even be your savior until you understand that he died to save you. Some people think he wants to just save you now and give you a horrible life. But the Bible says he came and became poor so you could become rich. And I don't mean that in a weird way. Come on, you know me. He wants to bless you. And the truth is what you're going through now, you're a visitor on this earth. You're a visitor. This is the part that prepares you for eternity. Spend every day seeking him, wanting to know who he is desperately, more and more, wanting to desire to understand the secrets and mysteries of God that have been freely given to us, the church. Are you guys okay this morning? Let me read one more scripture and then I'll close. One more scripture. This is my prayer for you this morning. Spoken about in the New Testament as well by Paul. But let's read it. Numbers 6 verse 24 says this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. When the Lord's face shines upon you and that grace is flowing towards you, you don't need anything else, guys. That's all you need. And you will not only survive, you will excel in this earth. And it doesn't matter what the enemy throws at you, you'll get through it. Why? Because grace will be right there beside you. And grace has a name, and his name is Jesus. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Father, this morning in this place, I don't pretend, Lord, to truly understand grace. But what I know is this, that I'm still here. I don't know how. But I know that something is working towards me and towards every one of us this morning. It must be grace. It must be love. It must be your mercy. Your mercy. It endures forever. I believe, God. I believe you are who you say you are in your word. I believe you are the God that breathed life onto this earth. I believe you are the God that parted the Red Sea, the God that was with David against Goliath, the God that was with Joseph in the palace, the God that was with Moses. And you are also God that came in the flesh, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, that came to give his life so that we could have life, life more abundant. I believe that you gave us grace. You will never leave us nor forsake us. This is what your word says. I believe it, Lord. I pray, Father, that grace will flow towards every one of us this morning and that we will never forget that you are great. And greatly to be praised. If you've come here this morning, it starts with salvation. If you don't know the Lord, you have to give your heart to him. If you're watching online, it starts with a decision where you say, I believe that Jesus is the one who came, the Son of God, and died and rose to give me life and life more abundant because of his love. It doesn't matter how many times you've made a mistake. It doesn't matter how many times you messed up. You might be a special case. You might say, you don't know how bad I am. Well, I want you to know that his grace is good enough for your special case right now. And so if you're that person, just cry out to him and say, Father, I believe. Forgive me for my sins. Wash me in your blood. Make me whole. Make me new this morning. And he will. If you're going through a struggle right now, I want you to know that his grace will be sufficient for you and it will meet you in that struggle right now. Right now, wherever you are, whether you're in the sanctuary or watching online, His grace will meet you right there where you are. Remember, it has already been prepared beforehand for this moment. He knew you would be where you are right now, and His grace will be sufficient for you. And so, Father, we honor you and praise and love you in this place with all of our hearts. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are here, that your presence is here. We love you. We honor you. We praise you. I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit be with every one of you as you go from this place this morning. In the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for coming this morning. So good to have you back. And we will see you again next week. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.